Well, we're talking homelessness. Spare a thought for the people of the island of Lombok in Indonesia, dealing with the aftermath of Sunday's devastating earthquake. That quake has left tens of thousands of people without homes, water and power supplies, still cut in many areas. A huge relief effort is now underway, but the Indonesian government admits it's struggling to cope. The death toll has risen to 105. ABC correspondent David Lipson joins us from Lombok. David, hello there.
Hi, Fran.
The death toll's risen. It's now at 105. Is it still rising? Is it still a search and rescue effort?
Yeah, it's going to continue rising, and you only have to take a drive along the coast or inland of the north of the island where the epicenter was to see why, because there's just piles of rubble everywhere. And yes, there is a search and relief operation going on, but the scale of this disaster is just so huge, it's impossible for them to get anywhere near reaching everyone. And as you alluded to, the search, the National Disaster Agency late yesterday admitted that there were some people who had received zero contact from aid and relief efforts because they're just cut off. Roads and bridges are badly damaged, and they're the people we've got to worry about the most, because even those close to the town centre where there's the most relief going mm-hmm. on, they're complaining to us that they're running out of water. So you can only imagine what's going on in those more remote areas.
David, I want to come to the relief effort, but in terms of the rescue effort, I mean, there was some good news yesterday where some people were pulled alive from under the collapse of a major mosque on part of the island. Has there been any more good news like that?
Well, there's been two good news stories in amongst a whole lot of bad. So two people have been pulled out from under rubble alive. The woman yesterday you mentioned, also a man from under the rubble of a mosque the day earlier. But really, it's now, getting to a point where it's much more unlikely that they're going to find anyone alive under this rubble. And even yesterday in the heat, you could start to smell the smell of death in certain parts. So it's certainly becoming not just a problem in terms of the search and rescue, but you'd imagine there'd be health issues starting to emerge as well.
Well, yeah, and seeing it firsthand as you are must be quite challenging, and in seeing people's grief, what sort of stories are you hearing when you come across some of these villages?
Well, one of the remarkable things I'd have to say is that the people are just so incredibly resilient. You know, you'd expect to see people sobbing and crying in the streets. There's none of that. People are just getting on with their lives. They're trying to survive at this point. But in terms of the stories, look, we spoke to a young man named Lalu yesterday. We found him pacing up and down this huge pile of rubble that used to be the village mosque. And he was basically listening out for his mother, because she was among about half a dozen people inside when the mosque came crashing down a few days ago. And he said there had been some search and rescue people on the day after the quake, but they disappeared. And that was despite hearing some voices from under the rubble.
Right.
The problem was it was just such a huge structure. So many tons of concrete, and there's only been one heavy earth moving excavator that I've seen here the whole time, and they just don't have the heavy machinery required to move this stuff. So he was so distraught that he thought his mother could be under there alive and no one was helping.
Just on that, is the government, I think the government's conceded it doesn't have the capacity to deal with this. The rescue and aid groups are trying to reach the villages that they're cut off. How's the Indonesian government coping? Is it putting out the call to other countries?
I haven't heard any call out to other countries. They're coping okay in some areas. They are certainly on the ground. They are certainly handing out food and water, but it's just not enough. The good news is that the international aid agencies are starting to arrive. I spoke to several of them yesterday, and they're setting up plans to start rolling out larger operations today. And they have been already on the ground helping out, getting people to hospital and providing some food and water and shelter in particular, handing out tarpaulins and the like. But it is a struggle for the Indonesian government, and certainly those remote areas where you can't get to by road. I haven't seen any helicopters or anything like that.
Right.
And, it could be that they could certainly use some help.
David, thank you for joining us this morning, and thanks for your coverage so far.
Pleasure. Thank you.
ABC Foreign Correspondent David Lipson.